podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode 38, episode 218. How's it going?
Whew.
How you feeling, Amanda?
Ugh, miserable.
She's officially in early term.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm not in any place to complain because for the most of the run of this experience has been very tame. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I am not allowed to complain, but goddamn, I am uncomfortable.
But you're allowed to complain, especially at the end, because, you know, there's like a cantaloupe inside of you.
Yeah, basically. It's like every day you feel a little bigger. Now even the maternity clothes are starting to fit a little less cute.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I kind of have a little bit of the, like, gosh, what is it called? Where, like, you know, you can kind of see a little bit of your belly, like, underneath your shirt. Not like a plumber's crack, but,
oh,
like, whatever.
Yeah, the opposite plumber's front, crack, yeah.
Yeah, the front version of that.
Oh.
But I refuse to buy anything else because I'm like, well, it's for, like, 3 weeks.
You're
like, whatever.
So close to the end.
I'm not going outside anyway.
Exactly. So we're recording this episode on Tuesday, March 30th, but this is going to air on Friday, April 9th. So, I mean, who knows? You might even have a baby by then.
I might.
Crazy.
I'm kind of hoping I don't because, again, my last day of work is on the 16th, and I at least want, like, a couple of days of, like, no work freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
But, again, you know, baby gonna do what baby gonna do, baby and gonna I have do, to be on board do. With that. So
exactly.
We'll
that's all right, though. What on earth?
Is someone doing a little remodeling?
Is somebody tap dancing?
Can I tell you about what's going on next door?
Yeah.
Please do.
Because it's real fun. Brought to you by the same people who, or whose parents, I guess, thought it was appropriate to fly a drone and to look into our window. Uh-huh.
These neighbors.
Yeah. They are doing, like, you know, crazy... some sort of crazy add-on. We thought it was a porch. Now we think it's a garage, even though they don't actually have an alleyway to get in there. We sort of, like, share this driveway that goes to, like, where we park, and then they could use it, to go to the back of their house. But they don't actually have the right to use it because it doesn't belong to them, and our landlord never gave them that right, but they've been using it all the time to do this work on their house. This has been going on since January.
Oh my
and
God.
And they never bothered to come over and, like, tell us about it, maybe give us a heads up, actually ask us if they could use, you know, because, like, if you're gonna drive down for a second and, like, unload stuff, like, fine, but fucking tell, like, the tenants of this actual building whose cars you are blocking in. That's been a sticking point, which I thought we were friends with these neighbors, but apparently they don't hold us in high enough esteem to, I don't know, give us a heads up. Like, they have my number anyway. So that's been a whole thing that's been, like, boiling underneath the surface for 2 months. And then they're doing, like, this very lengthy, add-on, and we just, you know, have no idea, like, how long to expect. You know, it's, I don't know if it's just, like, not the normal etiquette in the U.S. to tell your neighbors, but, like, there's been no heads up of, like, hey, for the next however many months. So Frank was talking to, so one of the neighbors is there. One of the neighbors' dads is there right now because they're visiting. Mm-hmm. And Frank happened to be talking to him, like, because they crossed paths and, like, asked him how is it going and blah, blah, blah. And so the dad informed him that, oh, like, yeah, you know, it's going good, but it's, you know, it's pretty slow because, you know, the workers are only going to be coming on Saturdays.
Oh, my. Of course.
Right.
So that's fun. It's like, let's see how obnoxious this can be. Anyway, that's what's going on. If you hear somebody hammering, it's the neighbor's dad who's, like, taken up the work himself and feels like it's appropriate after 5 o'clock to be doing that.
Jeez. So your neighbors own their unit?
They own their house.
Okay, because I feel like this is a lot of work for a rental.
Oh, no, no, no. They own the house next door, and they think that they own our driveway, but they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents' house growing up, our driveway was behind the house, so we had like a shared right of way. So I'm very familiar with right of way etiquette and how it can be abused.
Right. And the thing is, they specifically do not, like, my landlord, even I talked to him and he was like, I have never even talked to them, because they told their workers once that they had talked to our landlord and got the okay. And then I talked to the landlord to be like, wait, is this? And he was like, I've never even talked to him. I've never even met him.
Awesome.
Like, so they are well aware of what they are doing. They are intentionally doing it.
100%. Which is I wouldn't necessarily, if you had the common decency and respect to come over, knock on the people's doors here, especially us, like, because like they can shoot me a text. Tell us like, hey, we're going to be doing work. Is it okay? Then no problem whatsoever. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, but it's just right outside. So yeah.
Like, what if you had to run out to the store? Like, what?
That's no, seriously.
Like, more importantly, what if someone fell and seriously hurt themselves and you need to like get out and go to urgent care? It's like, you got to walk over there and be like, excuse me, can you get all your crap out of the right of way so I can get my car out?
Well, that's 100% it. And on Friday, they were down there for an extended period of time. I had to ask them multiple times to move each of their three trucks that were down there. Jeez. And that's exactly what we were saying. Like, if anyone had a medical emergency, we're just kind of fucked. Like, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry.
Infuriating.
That is infuriating. It's just like, you think you have cool neighbors until it really counts. And then it's like, oh, I see who you are.
Yeah. Until you don't.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Shandy. That sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, that's fine. But thanks for letting me vent.
Anytime.
We have actual cool neighbors that we share a wall with in the next unit over. And we have been like texting back and forth, which makes me feel better that like, okay, I'm not crazy. They also, they like co-sign that this is insane behavior.
Okay. That's super
annoying. Okay, so we commiserate together.
At least there should hopefully be an end in sight, I guess. I remember our neighbors from the
town. Who knows?
Yeah, right. That's true. It could be like LaGuardia. It's just never going to end.
Someday LaGuardia will be done. I think it will be worth it. That's what I keep telling myself.
I remember when my grandma told me that she was happy Trump was elected because he was going to get LaGuardia done as a businessman. And here we are.
Oh, that's 5 years later. That's cute.
How'd that work out? Yeah.
They're back to blaming.
We'll finish.
True. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
They'll finish eventually, but also by only doing the work on Saturday, the one day that, you know, might want to sleep in. It's just, you know, it's going to be a snail's pace. Awesome. Yeah.
Boo. So, as it goes, we are actually 9 days into, I think, dry April, which we decided to do.
Cool. Why?
Because I've gained more weight and I'm just frustrated and I feel like the only thing I have control over, since exercising isn't helping and eating better isn't helping, the only thing I have control over is to try another dry month. I don't know. January was stressful in general. So maybe without the stresses of, I don't know. So we decided to do that until our anniversary. Plus, I'm hoping that I will be able to be vaccinated next week or a few days ago by this coming out, because it opens up here for everyone next week. So
exciting.
My cousin's getting married in New Orleans in May, and I'm hoping that if I can get it next week, then I'll have, or next week or I think the week after, I will have both doses before I go, which I know is great. I am hoping to. I'm hoping to, and by that I mean I got my plane tickets this morning, so I'm going to have to do a lot of refreshing around the state to try to find an appointment.
That is very exciting.
Yeah, I have a whole browser with just tabs that search for open appointments. There's like three or four.
Nice.
But as the time that this airs, Shandy is fully vaccinated. Amanda will be fully vaccinated as of tomorrow, right?
As of tomorrow.
And actually, as of the time that this airs, I will be fully, like, immunized. Like, they will be fully working.
Yeah. Jay got his vaccination today. But
yay.
Yeah. And Amanda, I meant to say this before. If you're getting ultrasounds every week, I want to see an ultrasound.
Okay, I can send you pictures. I mean, they haven't happened yet, but in the future,
I want
when they do start
one.
Happening.
Yay!
I mean, there'll be so many of them. I can give them out as like party favors.
Oh, that's
I can mail you one if you want it.
I'm good. I can print it out myself.
Okay. Well, that's true. Well, I'll actually see you when you guys drive through. Yeah. So I'll be sure to slip one in your little goodie bag of things that I've got collecting for you.
A goodie bag of things for me. I'm supposed to be dropping off a goodie bag of things for you.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like this.
Just a couple little thank yous.
All right. Yeah. All right. You know, I was filling in my April calendar and I got to the birthday section and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get to add a new birthday to it this month.
Yeah, I had no idea. April is such a busy month.
I know. I only have like three birthdays in April. Jay's grandma, Sarah Gardeski, and Jim Watari. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to build up add some more ink to the old April page here.
Nice.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. When we were doing like predictions with my family, it was like everyone's like, well, this day in April because it's like my birthday or our anniversary or like this thing. I was like, wow, we have a lot of events in April. I had no idea.
That's like our August. There's so many birthdays in August on both sides of the family. It's March, March, June, and August. June is actually probably the busiest.
Okay.
You have my grandma, my aunt, Jay, and then you've got anniversaries and birthdays and blah blah blah. I mean more birthdays, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah. your anniversary is in April, right?
I'm April 29th.
Yeah.
Which is my baby too. On the 29th. Oh yeah, and Shandy's the 22nd?
15th, tax day.
15th? Okay. Ah. I knew you were you're 2 weeks ahead of me. I knew you were like the same, you know, 2 weeks or 1 week spaced out.
We're within a pay period.
Yeah. We could both afford each other's weddings.
That's a very American way to frame it.
That's a good point. I get paid on the day. I get paid on your birthday and the day after my anniversary. Awesome.
Thanks.
Perfect.
15th and the 30th, man. You know that there are certain in North Carolina, and this happened in my first job too. We get paid like on the first of the month. Jay's sister's a teacher here, and she gets paid the first day of the month, and that's it, like for the month.
That's terrible.
That's rough.
She likes it because she feels like she can budget her whole month out, like to a T.
Power to her. That's the whole thing is like, I feel like I can't budget my whole month out like that because I'm just not very good at budgeting or self-control. Yeah.
I can't budget at all.
Yeah.
I have tried to make a budget for myself countless times. I just cannot do it.
I
just cannot do it. I cannot budget.
I can. I'm good at it. We've talked about it. There's always something else. There's always something that comes up, though, that throws it off. Or, like, Jay will just make an impulse purchase or, you know, because he's not good at the whole budget. And I'll be like, come on. Like, did you have to? He's like, oh, it was at the flea market and it was blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, really? You've got, like, 15 Ghostbusters cars. What do you need this one? Well, I could sell this one if I fix it up. I just got to get the stickers and the parts. And I'm like, so this is an investment. We're putting more things in. Like, you got to buy parts for it. But then you're going to sell it, and you're going to take the profit to pay off your credit card and all that I have invested that came out of my... It might be a thing. Anyway, okay, we are here to talk about the movie Nomadland tonight.
Yeah. Speaking of budgeting. That actually probably is a fairly good segue.
It is a great
segue. Yes.
Going from a capitalist society where like buying things to the very opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, right. One that highlights some of the flaws of capitalism and some of the good parts, but you know, a lot of the not good parts. So, Nomadland, does anybody want to give a brief description of the plot?
Does anyone happen to have IMDb pulled up?
Well, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, I have that open. And about 15 tabs about the true story versus the movie.
Stars, as we talked about, it stars Frances McDormand as a woman who leaves her hometown of Empire, Nevada, after her husband dies and the soul industry closes down. So she becomes houseless and travels around the United States, mostly the Western United States. But yeah, so we see what happens when an older woman, because she's what, like supposed to be like 60, maybe?
Yeah.
Old enough for early retirement, like, but
yeah, right. Oh, she's 62. Not old enough to
retire.
Did they say you're 60?
So probably, like, I would put her late 50s, very early 60s.
Oh, that was the other woman's story who said you're 60 something. Do you want to take your early retirement? So the reason that her industry closes down is she had lived in one of those towns that was driven by a soul manufacturing company, and her husband worked for it and she worked for it and the whole town worked for it, and it closed down in, I think it was 2011, they say, as a part of the Great Recession of 2009.
Yeah, so this film takes place, you know,
a few years after,
several years ago,
right? But it takes place in the early 2010s, like there, yeah. So
like 2011, 2012 ish, yeah. I think is,
yeah. So the industry, they closed it down. Everyone had to leave the town because they owned like all the houses there and everything. And they discontinued the zip code because nobody lived there anymore, which was kind of actually rough. Shocking.
Just
to
like
hear.
A real sad way to open a movie.
Right. Right. But also like,
it really sets the tone.
It really does set the tone. But, you know, it just goes to on one way. And then I think it's kind of interesting how Amazon, another giant company, which I don't think, like, you know, has taken over any one town yet, right, to like be the sole employer. But it's also like this horrible company that is exploiting its workers. She takes seasonal jobs. So seasonal work for Amazon, for state parks and whatnot, in order to make ends meet. She lives out of her van. And it's just a really interesting look at a community and lifestyle that you kind of know somewhat exists, but it's one of those things that like society kind of like doesn't look too kindly on or give much credence to. But these, you know, these people just have this wonderful sense of community, and it's a way to really look at another way of life and learn like compassion and understanding for how other people live. And the movie is based on a book that was the true stories of a woman named Jessica Bruder. The movie itself is fictionalized, but it's based on the stories within her book. So there are characters in the story who are actual real life nomads that are playing themselves, like Swanky's character, Linda May.
Mm-hmm. Linda May.
The dude with the Santa Claus beard who was kind of like their guru. They're all actual real life nomads where they were playing fictionalized versions of themselves, with the exception of Swanky, who is, of course, has a different fate than what her movie character's fate is.
Right.
Yeah.
That explains why in the credits, because I noticed that like their names were the same as their character names. So it's like, huh, that's interesting. And then, and then got distracted by something else. But now I understand.
I think that was the only thing I knew about the movie going into it. Was that some of the supporting characters were actual nomads. So they were like playing, I didn't know if they were like playing a version of themselves, but I knew that like they had actually, they were like in with the community.
Yeah.
That's really impressive too, because like you wouldn't.
Sorry.
Oh no. So go ahead. No, I interrupted you.
No. I was saying, and they did a really great job acting wise. Like.
Exactly. You wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't know it that they weren't necessarily actual, you know, professionals. That's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, especially to be playing alongside Frances McDormand. That's
who is just so incredible.
Yeah. I mean, she's got to be the best scene partner around though. Like she strikes me as the kind of actor that would make anyone they're in a scene with like sing.
Yeah, she makes such interesting, wonderfully dynamic acting choices too in some of her deliveries and whatnot, like you know, just, I'm sorry, I just saw a headline that Matt Gaetz is under investigation for a relationship with a teenage girl and got really like, what the fuck? Sorry.
Who's Matt Gaetz?
Matt Gaetz, like, the human frat paddle from Florida. He's a congressman from Florida who is like the Trumpiest, most obnoxious. He had the teenage son that's not really his son and it's all sorts of fucking weird. You know who Matt Gaetz
didn't read.
You know who Matt Gaetz is.
AKA, this seems like it's par for the course.
Yeah.
He's very Trumpy. He's probably going to primary Rubio. Him and Ivanka are probably. It's going to be. Anyway, he's an asshole. He's a horrible human being. You'll know his picture if you saw him because he's one of the like more Ted Cruz-y vocal ones. Anyway, that's exciting, Shandy. Going to have to read about that when we're done. may have to text Mike too. Okay, anyway, so what was I fucking talking about?
I don't know. Oh, Frances McDormand.
Oh yeah, she just makes these wonderful choices. Like
she's just like she's a very accessible actor.
She is. It's interesting because she's not like I don't know, she's one of those people that it seems like she chooses the projects that she wants to work in.
Oh, 100%.
And that's pretty awesome. Isn't she the one that was married to...
one of the Coens.
The Coens? Joel Coen.
Really?
Is she not anymore?
She still is.
Okay.
Yeah.
The way you framed it, I'm like, oh no, did they get divorced? That's sad.
No, I was thinking of the other Frances who was with not Steven Spielberg. Cliff, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I talked to a chair at the Republican convention.
Oh, Charlton Heston?
No.
What? No, that's the NRA.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
I was thinking of that woman who was in Titanic. Sorry, she's not Frances. Okay, this is definitely neither here nor there.
Oh, like the mom?
The mom in the Titanic was at one point married, or she definitely had a baby with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, wow. No way. I didn't know that.
And yeah. Now... at least as of a couple of years ago, Clint Eastwood's wife is like 30 years old and Frank served them.
Oh
my.
At a restaurant.
And you're sure it was
in Carmel, which he used to be the fucking mayor or whatever of.
Really?
Yeah.
Good times. You know, it's kind of funny. By the time this episode comes out, that whole Matt Gaetz story is going to be old news.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Or last. You heard it here last. A whole show dedicated to a movie, and the episode title is probably going to be about Matt Gaetz. All right, back to No Man Land. What did you guys think? Sorry.
I thought it was lovely. I thought it was a really nice just window. You know, the story is kind of a window into a world we don't normally see, but it's also an age group that normally doesn't get featured in a positive way on the big screen.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of any movie that features that many senior folk, and it's always something that's sort of comedic and they're the butt of the joke. Yeah. And it's like, oh, like, you know, what are we going to do before we kick the bucket? Or like, you know?
Yeah. And they're usually dudes too. Definitely
and they're not. Usually dudes. If it is women that it, you know, it plays on this like postmenopausal, like it, they're always just the butt of the joke and no one,
right. It's
no one was the butt of the joke in this movie. This movie was just a beautiful artistic look
and yeah
at a group of people that are not represented in film usually traditionally
and even the story was just honestly I didn't know what to expect going in, but I was looking forward to it because Shandy had given a good recommendation and Jay was coming home from band practice and he was like 10 minutes out. He's like, just start without me, catch me up, it'll be fine, I don't want to watch it. And then by midway through, he was crying and more emotionally invested in it than I was. I was like, is it okay if we stop it for me to pee and refill my drink? Otherwise, like, I know you're feeling the feels here. So
it's true. Dude, when the plates broke, both Daniel and I gasped.
Yeah.
We were like, not the plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she glued it back together, which was such a great metaphor for her life, right? She kept just gluing things back together.
Just picking up the pieces and keep moving forward.
Right. Totally. And it's, you know, that's also, if you think about what we're taught about in American society, you work hard, you're successful, you can retire because you've earned your retirement, and then you get to, you know, either take a retirement job to get out of the house or supplement your Social Security if you need to, which again is, you know, what we're taught, even though it goes to the other point here, or you'll be fine. And that just isn't the reality, especially after it isn't the reality. And the Great Recession clearly like fucked up a whole bunch of people's plans. But even without that, that's that community existed before that happened. Like that man with his YouTube channel, which is a real channel, I believe, you know, that existed for a reason. So like just an interesting look at another layer of society where it's not like this American dream that you're taught that you can absolutely have it, but there has to be the right generally it's situation and circumstance. And this woman and her friends worked hard their whole lives, and then out of their control, next thing you know, they're choosing to like live out of their vans.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think like I thought it was visually beautiful. I liked just like you said, Amanda, seeing a story about an age group that is not usually represented, especially women. The places that she went were beautiful, and like a lot of them, you know, are places I go to. So it was fun to see that. And there's something like beautiful and poetic about a sort of like nomadic life that I think appeals to us all on some level. But then the other side of that coin is the fact that like this woman, you know, was living like a perfectly comfortable lower middle class life. And then through no fault of her own, all of a sudden she's basically houseless. I liked that.
I like that too. I'm not
as well, that distinction. But it really shows, you know, the problems in the US or any society when you don't have a social safety net, an adequate one at least. And honestly, like it really reminded me of my grandparents, not that they were nomads, but they worked really, really hard all of their lives. And my grandpa worked, you know, basically until the day that he died and like could barely get by, you know, it's like that shouldn't happen. And it makes me really sad because I think that we just really don't respect our elders in this country or Western society in general. And I sort of like yearn for a society where we would actually value and take care of the elderly, because if we're lucky, we're all going to end up there. And you shouldn't have to, you know, as beautiful as it is to be a nomad, you can't do that when you're 80, for example. Or, I mean, depending on your health, like there's going to come a time where society needs to take care of you. And if society's not built up that way, then, you know, that nobody should have to have a difficult end of their life. So it was beautiful, but it was also, yeah, it was very gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that there's also the element that she chose to do that because she was dealing with, you know, the loss of her everything. But like, even so,
But there should be a way for her to retain her independence and not necessarily have to, because you could say, okay, why didn't she just accept her sister's offer to live, you know, with her? And many people maybe would. And you could say that's the safety net. It's doesn't come from the government in the US. It comes from your family. Well, what if you don't have, you know, family? But also there should be a way for her to retain her independence and also, you know, not be so precarious in her situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's a very good point. And like, and to that point, it's like when, you know, there's a scene where her van breaks down and that's why she goes to visit her sister, because she doesn't have the funds to fix it. And the, you know, the mechanic or whatever is telling her that, you know, really for the amount it's going to cost, you should just sell it and invest in something else. And she's like, this is my home. It's not that simple. And the fact that there is no safety net that, like, yes, you can choose this life, but there are, you know, it's not so black and white.
Yeah. I really like the quote from the beginning of the movie: home isn't just a word, it's something that you carry within you. Thought that was really like just a powerful kind of setting the tone for the movie. I was kind of bummed that she didn't get with David. I mean, I understood why, but like, Jay was like, no, go back.
But I think that's also what makes that what makes the story interesting. Because, yeah, it sort of sets up this traditional trope that we are used to in films that, oh, this is the love interest.
Yeah, exactly.
And that they're going to get together in the end. And it's like she can't let go. She can't let enough of her past go to completely move forward.
Yes. And that scene at the end, oh, my God, just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I realized, because it's like that, the last shot, and I realized they had done this a few times throughout the film, that you have these big sweeping shots of wide open space America, and it's like the camera is trying to find her van. So it's like you see the country first, and then the camera kind of slowly meanders and like finds its way to the van, and the van is home.
Yeah.
And it's just,
yeah, it was.
It was a well-made movie.
Yes, directed.
Good job, Chloe Zhao.
Yes, directed and edited by Chloe Zhao.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I didn't realize that she also. So she wrote, directed, and edited the movie,
yes.
Which is like so much work. Which is probably why this film took place in like 2011. That's probably how long she's been working on it. That is a lot to do.
Well, you know, if you're going to do all that, pandemic's a perfect time for post-production.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, so what I had read was that Frances McDormand and somebody else had bought the rights to the book after the novel came out. And then Frances McDormand approached Chloe Zhao after seeing another film she had made. And was like, I would really like you to help me make this into a movie.
Wow.
That makes sense. Because, yeah, I saw Frances McDormand has a producer credit.
Yeah.
So that, yeah.
It might be Peter Spears, looking at the Wikipedia page, might have been the other person that owns the rights with her. But I don't remember off the top of my head. And I've got too many tabs opened and to scroll around now.
I mean, you guys don't listen to us because of our accuracy in facts.
Yeah, seriously. I edited out when we're wrong anyway.
If you wanted like the real dish, you would go to an actual film podcast. Come on, guys.
Okay, she is 61, confirmed.
Okay.
All right.
According to time.com, she's 61. this book came out in 2017. While researching the book, Jessica Bruder spent years following nomads across the country. So she wasn't a nomad herself. She just spent months living as a nomad in a secondhand van named Helen in an effort to better understand her subjects. Let's see.
I did like that fact that people named their vehicle.
Yeah, kind of like how people name their musical instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you give their personality by giving it a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's going to be your home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well.
Mm-hmm.
Any last thoughts on the movie before we move into listener feedback?
I'm scrolling through Wikipedia to see if that...
Okay.
You know,
So the book Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century, is centered on Linda May, who was living in her secondhand Jeep. And so I guess the book was originally based on Linda May following her around, which is why she was such an awesome character.
She was a great character.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, she was.
So Jessica Bruder accompanied her kind of around. But yeah, it's just an interesting look on society and lifestyles, and even the way that these companies just use people and then just like discard them like they're nothing. Because even Amazon, like they, wasn't there another documentary or something? Because Jay and I both remembered it, but we couldn't remember where we had seen the story of people who literally live in RVs and will follow Amazon jobs around.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. Where did we see that? Because that's a thing.
Yeah. According I can't think of internet. It though. I keep thinking of American Factory, but that's different. That's
yeah. I don't know. I guess one of the big takeaways here for me was, I don't know, the world is a lot more complicated and precious than we were taught growing up. And it's always nice to have more compassion and getting to know the way of life of others. Because, you know, walk a mile in somebody's shoes and... You only see 10%. What you see on the surface is only 10% of what's going on underneath and all of that.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's move in some feedback.
Let's do it.
All right, and we have a little bit of feedback from Frank.
Okay, so Frank says that Nomadland could be compared to the videos and documentaries that we've been watching about French people who go on vacation with their RVs. And so it's like vacation in France versus RV in the U.S. to actually just like survive and go and find like these little jobs here and there. Is it really a choice? Did they really choose like in Nomadland? So like, whereas in France, it would be like retirees versus in the U.S., like we don't have like the same retirement system.
Right.
And so, you know, and that what we're seeing in this movie is like people having a pretty difficult life, you know, versus like the French version, which would be much more comfortable. Whereas like the difference between survival versus leisure with an RV. And he says, you know, we don't see that in France.
Yeah.
And it's maybe the lack of the social system in the U.S.
Yeah, probably a bit of
safety,
both.
Social safety net.
My guess is
there's a lack of socialist system. That's what that means. Like,
right.
Yeah.
My guess would be is when faced with no other choice, those people made the choice to live like that. Does that make sense?
Well, sure, but it's like, why didn't they have any other choice?
Exactly. Right? Like, exactly. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he goes on to say that we have this impression of that we don't think about or like forget about these, you know, traveling people because they're kind of like, you know, the hidden face of the numbers that we don't necessarily or the statistics that we don't necessarily want to talk about in the U.S.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so they're like the hidden face of the social misery in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes on to say that the film, you know, is also about the fatality of how Americans adapt more easily to this sort of like in social injustice. And we, you know, see a lot of women, which we already covered, was a really interesting part of the film. But then Frank goes on to wonder if, you know, the COVID crisis is going to accentuate the number of nomads that we saw in this movie. And I think that's definitely fair.
I think that's a very good possibility.
Yeah. I'm certain that that's an actuality.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. But then he does go on to say, like, more on a more positive note, even if the movie shows misery, it also transmits an emotion of how a simple life can bring things and allow you to like forget about superfluous things like capitalism and, you know, everything that's like our like creature comforts that we're so used to. And it almost makes us want to be in their place to sort of like separate ourselves from a life of consumerism.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a good observation.
But really it's just the tip of the iceberg. And what was interesting was also that Frank said that, yeah, a lot of people live in their cars in Silicon Valley, for example, because they can't afford to live in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even like, you know, university professors and like people who work in tech, you'll see them living in their cars in like the Silicon Valley area, you know, for like miles around Palo Alto. You'll see these people. And Frank was saying that he's literally seen them with his own eyes when he was driving Uber.
Oh, man.
Which, yeah, is not something that we really think about. So it's like, yeah, in summary, the U.S. is really and always has been two extremes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for those observations, Frank. Those are really good. Those are really deep. We have one. And we have one more piece of feedback from Matt. He said, I watched Nomadland a few weeks ago and really liked it. It wasn't as depressing as I expected, but shows this life for what it is without being preachy. While I now see why Carey Mulligan is the favorite to win the Oscar, Frances McDormand is great, as I said in my feedback. It's also a beautiful looking movie. It's another reason why I miss going to the movies. On another movie note, I watched Promising Young Women. And wow, I'm sure this is already on your radar for award seasons, but this is one you three could really sink your teeth into. Matt, we are going to try to watch that within the upcoming weeks before Amanda's maternity leave and watch it. So if anybody else out there has any feedback about it, Martha spoke highly of it. So clearly, and Matt did, obviously. So two big endorsements there, and we'll have to check it out. So if anybody has any feedback on it, let us know. We'll try to watch it for the an upcoming episode. All right, let's get to a voicemail from Maggie. And I don't think this is about the movie, so just regular feedback. Here we go.
Hey, Amanda, Shady, and Colleen. It's Maggie. A few weeks ago, you were talking about like fashion and how the pandemic is going to change that, how it might. So I've been back at work for about a month, and it has definitely changed what I wear to work. I was always like wearing something with pockets, so I had a place to put my phone and my work keys, and now I'm like wearing leggings and like sweatpants that I was wearing at home that don't always have pockets, and you know, wearing sports bras because they're just more comfortable. So it's definitely changed for me in ways that I wouldn't have thought, so we'll see. But I am not the most fashionable person at all. So other people would be much better judge of all that. And then the other thing was with yoga and prenatal yoga. Adrian does not have any. But my, I have a friend who's going to have a baby in July, and she wanted help doing some prenatal yoga. So I've done some with her, and she's done it through the Down Dog app. I'm assuming you have to pay for that, but there's been some pretty interesting stuff, but actually some of this prenatal yoga I can't do. And I'm like, yep, not pregnant and can't do it, but that's okay. But it's still fun. So yeah. Hope you guys are doing well, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
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 Well, there you go, Amanda. Hope maybe you can find something that will take the stress off of your swollen foot.
That's true. That's true. Because it is, there is slim pickings on the YouTube.
Interesting. You would think that would be a huge market. There's literally a market for everything else while you're pregnant.
I'm very picky about my like YouTube exercise people, and particularly with yoga. And I think that's what I liked so much about yoga with Adrian is that it like, I hate the ones that just take themselves too seriously. Yeah. Like with the music and, you know, the tracking shots of lotus flowers. And then it's just some like terribly in shape white woman being like, okay, sink into your breath.
So
we're on a journey together. Open your heart.
So no goop yoga for you.
No, whatever the opposite of that is. I cannot.
Oh my God. Well, thank you, Maggie. I'm sure, you know, helpful. And anybody out there who's listening and is pregnant and needs some prenatal yoga, there you go.
Yeah. Down Dog. I'll have to look into it.
All right. Well, the other thing that Amanda and I had watched was One Night in Miami, but we are actually out of time to talk about that. So perhaps in a couple of weeks when we record again, next week we're recording last few days ago, whatever. Okay. Real Weird Sisters. Check that out on the feed. That will be out on the feed. When that goes out on the feed, Amanda has had her baby. So she might not put it on Instagram, but that's your broadcast announcement. So stay tuned for that because we recorded with them a few days ago / next week. but if we do record again in and maybe even next week, we could talk about it with Alice and Martha or last week or whatever.
I would talk about that movie all day long. Okay. I think Regina King got snubbed hard.
Yeah, it's a really great movie.
It was a beautifully directed, you know, I don't know why we have to, we can only have one female first film female director nominee every year. I don't know why there couldn't have been two. I loved that movie. And I think she was, if that was her first movie, we have a lot to.
It had a very theater vibe for a lot of it.
It was originally a play.
Okay, well, you could tell because there was so many points where I was watching and I was like, this would make a great play.
Yeah, it was actually.
I could see the staging in my head.
Thanks to Wait, Don't Tell Me this week. It was written by the same person that wrote Soul.
I knew that. I saw that somewhere.
I did not know that. So they are a double Oscar nominee for two separate films.
Nice.
In one year.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Got to be rare.
It's so funny because Jay had wanted to watch that movie back when it was first streaming, and we never got around to it. And when he found out that I was watching it today, he was like, "You're watching the Leslie Odom Jr. movie without me?"
Like, cold.
Like, well, you can rewatch it, and then I can actually like maybe
it's on
actually
Amazon
watch it. And
yeah.
Then, boom.
It's on Amazon Prime, so.
It is. And then we got ourselves a soup.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. All right, so
I will watch it again. I loved it. I thought it was so, so good.
Excellent. All right, well, on that note, everybody, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. If you have any feedback about this movie, One Night in Miami, or any other movies that you're interested in us checking out or TV shows, let us know, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or give us a call, 331-276-2373. We love feedback. Thank you to the patrons, especially the ones that contribute a certain level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Greg the Gray, Joanne with a Plan, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. We truly appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/JayandJack. And if you do that, you can actually prepay for the year. So that's an option. Those tax refunds are coming in. It's not that much money for the year.
Oh, I forgot to include that.
Get that stimmy. Sorry. Mm-hmm. All right. On that note, we will see you. We'll either see you next week or we won't. Not really sure.
It'll be a mystery to us all.
You'll either hear us
surprise to us all.
But give us that feedback. We love you. All right. Goodbye. On that note, peace out, everybody. My name is Colleen. Bye.
My name is Amanda. Goodbye.
And I'm Shandy. Ciao.